Welcome to Believers Academy. We're so glad you are joining us in this series, How to Make Your Prayers Effective. You are studying Lesson 3, How to Talk with God and Get Results. To get the most out of this lesson, you can download the accompanying materials and use them for further study. At any time, you can pause to look up scriptures, make notes, and rewind to catch up.
Hello, partners. I'm Kenneth Copeland. Welcome to the Believers Academy Prayer Series. There's no time or distance where the Word of God is concerned. There's no time or distance in the realm of the Spirit. That means that the Word preached, as long as it's the Word of God, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, or 100 years ago, it's as relevant today as it was then. Amen. So, let's get to it.
You and I are going to see some things today that will be outstanding, exciting, things that really open the door to God's treasure house of blessing and power and all the things that you and I need in our daily lives to walk and live victoriously in Christ Jesus. Let's settle something right now. When I say to live victoriously in Christ Jesus, does not mean, nor in any way does it imply, that I'm trying to say that there's a place for Christians to just float off out into some kind of funny land where you just drift along above the storms of life and all the things that life has to offer. Now, you know that bunch of over there preaches that you just never have any more problems. I never preached that in my life. And anybody that believes that's got BBs for brains. Because there ain't no way, man. I mean, that's talking about the hereafter, praise the Lord. While we're here in this earth, thank God for the sweet by and by, but this is the rotten here and now. And we're going to have to live in Christ Jesus, overcoming problems. And as you learn how to walk in the Word of God, there are a lot of pitfalls and so forth through the leadership of the Holy Spirit that you avoid. But nonetheless, if anything, your problems will become more intense for two different reasons. One, you're more aware of them. You know, when you were out there in the world, you just figured, well, you know, you win a few, lose a few, wonder what's going to happen today. And there's some of them you just didn't pay any attention to because, I mean, that's too little to mess with. Brother, I got something over here that's eating me alive. But when you get into prayer and you get into the things of God and you begin to realize that you have victory in Christ Jesus, then even the small problems that you didn't used to pay any attention to all of a sudden become a challenge to the very Lordship of Jesus, and you make your mind up, praise God, I'm going to defeat that and I'm going to walk in victory in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. I'll tell you what, before we get any further into this today, let's pray, and then we're going to get right into the Bible. We have some very important things for you to write down and make some notes of in order to develop and grow in your prayer life. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this broadcast today, and we give you praise for it. We honor you in it. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we ask you to open the eyes of our understanding and reveal to us how to communicate with you on a more real, more intelligent, more a total communication so that we walk victoriously and we'll be quick to give you all the praise and the honor and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. There are some things about prayer, and that's what we're studying. We began this week. We're going to continue with it for some time because there's so much of it to cover. And it'll get better and better as we go, and it'll get better and better as you grow spiritually. That's what this broadcast is all about. It's what the whole program is all about. Always, all the time, is to help you grow in strength in your faith, to help you grow in strength in the love of God, to help you grow and strengthen your prayer life, to grow up spiritually, as the Apostle Paul put it, growing up into Him in all things. There's just a whole lot of things that we need to grow up and become strong men and women of God and walk in His power and in His victory. Now, I want you to get this. This is something you're going to have to remember the rest of your life. It is something that without an awareness of what I'm about to say, your prayer life will never, it'll never be worth, like the fellow said, it'll never be worth the powder it takes to blow it out of your hat. You know, I mean, it just, your prayer life never will be worth anything if you don't get what I'm about to say to you right now. Prayer is not trying to get God's attention. I want to read to you from the 4th chapter of the book of Hebrews. Now, let's start here with the 12th verse. For the word of God is quick, which literally means alive. The word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intent of the heart. Now listen to this verse carefully. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to our profession, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore, listen to this verse now, let us therefore, whoa, anytime you see therefore, stop and see what it's there for. Let us therefore, let us, because we have a high priest that is easily touched with the feelings of our infirmities, because Jesus, our high priest that's passed into the heavens, before Him there is nothing naked. I mean, there's not anything that we have to get His attention about. Okay? Now that is a vitally important part of your prayer life. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. Now, the idea that comes out of this, some of you are thinking it right now, because it was born from religious thought, religious ideas that say, oh, you know, God is so good, we're so bad, and there's such a bridge between us that we'll never be able to get good enough for God to have anything to do with us. That ain't any more the gospel of Jesus Christ than you're a duck flying upside down. I mean, it has nothing to do with it. Religious-minded, all religions, I don't care whether it's Buddhism or all the Eastern religion, any religion, even Christianism, has that basic idea that God is way out there, we're way down here, He is so good, and we are so bad, and we're going to have to get good enough someday that maybe I might reach Him somehow. Now, that's the whole religious idea. It's what all religion's based on, and that's exactly what the devil wants you to think about Jesus. However, Christianity, not Christianism, the religion that's been made out of Christianity, but Christianity itself is God taking the responsibility for your sin and wiping it out so that you can come to Him just merely with thank you. Thank you. He's made you one with Him. Now, listen to this. Listen to this carefully. Because I said there's something some of you are thinking, and this is what comes out of that. Prayer is not trying to get God's attention. Now, some of you are thinking right now, well, if I don't have to get God's attention, and He already knows I'm in this mess, why don't He do something about it? Now, some of you are thinking that right now. All right? Let's take the next step then and settle this. Prayer is not trying to get God to do something. Prayer has nothing to do with that. Doesn't even enter into our relationship with God. Well, what in the world is prayer then? All right. Prayer is communication with God, receiving what He has already given us in Christ Jesus. Everything you ever need is in Jesus. Everything that you'll ever have need of throughout the rest of eternity is in Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And when you made Him Lord of your life, it was given to you. Now, it has to be received and it has to be brought from the spiritual realm into manifestation in this natural physical realm. If God has to do a miracle for that, then that's His business. He's willing and able. Praise God, He is ready, willing, and able to carry that out. But now what we're out to do is not trying to beg Him into doing a miracle. That doesn't have anything to do with it. He's already willing to do that. Let me stop here just a moment and get something over to you. Do you know there's not any miracles in heaven? Now, the whole thing is miraculous as far as we're concerned here on the earth because of man's union with Satan and the curse that came on this earth. We're way behind where we should have been. We should have been running along parallel with heaven. All the glory in heaven, all the glory in the earth, and God and man working together, running together, and earth and heaven running parallel to one another. Now, that's exactly what Jesus prayed, said, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." That's God's plan. That's the way He planned it, and it's headed that direction now. So, until then, there are certain things in our lives that are out of the way God created them. They're out of line. Sickness and disease is not God's will. It's not His design. It's not the way He created man. He didn't create your body to be burdened down with pain, sin, sickness, disease, fear, doubt, unbelief, evil spirits plaguing you and tripping you up every place that they can. God didn't even, hey man, God didn't create hell. Are you listening to me? I bring something up like that, and I can almost see you through the camera and say, "Huh? What'd he say, Myrtle? I didn't get that. He didn't say what I thought he did he?" Yeah, I did. God wasn't looking for a way to make it hell on men. That's not what He was doing at all. Now listen carefully, and you'll learn something here that'll set you free. God created the earth for man. He created it for him as a copy of heaven, a place to live like God lives and in His life and His life in us and live with Him together. And He created that garden and He put man in it. But now listen, man is the highest creation God has ever brought into life. Man is created just a little below God. And He's created in His likeness and in His image. Man has the same kind of emotions that God has. And he has the same kind of life in him that God has in him. He is a spirit and he has a soul and he lives in a body. And God gave him all of this earth. The earth and all the fullness therein God gave to man. Now man is such a high order of spirit being. Once he went from life to death and hate and killing and stealing and destroying, like his father the devil, came into his spirit being, then hell, which is in the physical center of the earth, was not put there just to be a prison. That heated core of the earth came into the center of this earth because of the way the earth was created. I mean, that hot core was there to start with because in the natural realm, in just natural physics, that hot core had to be there. And so God used that. The Bible said hell was brought into being for the devil and his angels. Now, the reason man was put in there is because man belongs to the earth and the earth belongs to God. Man is such a high-ranking spirit being to start with. He's not God in the end that he's sovereign. He's not a sovereign being. He has to have a sovereign head. Satan's not sovereign. He just set himself up to be sovereign. God is the sovereign God. Hallelujah. So, if man has Satan as his Lord, and that center core of the earth is where Satan is to be incarcerated, then men that have Satan as their God are incarcerated in that same spot. And it's a real place at the center of the earth. Now, the reason God didn't put him off out someplace else is because he belongs to the earth and the earth belongs to man. The reason he doesn't just let him roam around loose in the earth after his body is loosed from his spirit, or rather his spirit is loosed from his body, is just the simple fact that he has too much spiritual range. He has to be incarcerated. He's too powerful a spirit being. Can you imagine somebody as crazy and wild and mean as Adolf Hitler or Joseph Stalin or somebody like that, Attila the Hun or Genghis Khan or somebody like that was released on the earth without a physical body with the spiritual power that's in the likeness of God? Are you kidding? God ain't gonna let something like that run around loose. He has to be incarcerated. And so he's put into the center of the earth. That's called hell, and it was created for the devil and his angels. God didn't create hell, and the physical place of hell itself was actually not created as a place of incarceration. It was in the center of the earth, and God used it and set it up as a jail for spirit beings, the place of the damned. Now, Jesus went into that place as though he were damned. He took your sin and my sin, went in there and suffered our penalty. He really suffered the penalty of Adam's fall and high treason in the Garden of Eden. When he did that and he was raised up out of that place, its authority was broken. The authority of the devil was broken. The authority of sin, sickness, demons, fear, doubt, unbelief, and all of that was broken over the human race. And all you and I have to do is say, "Thank you, Jesus. I receive you as my Lord and my Savior. Come into my heart. Take over my life and my affairs." When you pray that prayer, when you believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, the Bible said, "Thou shalt be saved." Why? Because he is your Savior. You are saved. You've been saved from sin. You've been saved from this curse. You have been saved from sickness and disease and all that kind of thing. Well, then how come it's still on me? Because you hadn't cast it off, and because you hadn't believed and received what's yours. It's not a matter of God having to do it. Can you understand what I'm saying here now? Seeing then that we have this great high priest. Who? Jesus. What about him? "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and whosoever believeth on him shall not perish." Whosoever gets good enough? No. Whosoever does penance for all of his sin? No. Whosoever that just beats himself down far enough, God will have pity? No. I said something to you yesterday and the day before both. God's not going to bless you and answer your prayers because you're goody-goody. God's not going to bless you and answer your prayers because you're bad. Because our prayer life is not based on good or bad. It's based on what God has already done, what he's already said, what he's already accomplished, the defeat that Satan has already experienced in the name of Jesus. And when we pray in the name of Jesus, based on what God has already said, it puts us in a position to receive from him, and that's what changes your conduct. Amen. I didn't have to quit drinking and smoking and cussing and all that ugly stuff to get God to hear me pray. No. I prayed, And as I prayed and believed, I received it. I received deliverance from drinking and cussing and lying and stealing and all anything else in that sin realm. Same thing true of sickness and disease. If you learn how to believe that you receive. So, prayer is not trying to get God's attention. Prayer is not trying to get God to do something. Prayer is communication with God, receiving what He has already given us in Christ Jesus. Everything you ever need is already set aside for you because Jesus, God Almighty, the Holy Spirit, and all of heaven is no respecter of persons. You are not going to get healed because you're so good looking. You are not going to prosper in the things of God because you're so smart and intelligent. You're not going to get it because you're of some particular race or some particular culture. It has absolutely nothing whatever to do with it. And for you to have the idea that it does is to make God out a liar. Well, you know that brother, I mean, he gets it because, you know, he's a preacher and God just blessed him and all that because he went to China for 19 years and like starved to death and God just blessed. Come on, are you kidding? God not blessing somebody because of that. Now, that obedience to God comes in, puts you in a position to receive from God. You understand the difference there? God's not blessing the fella just because he obeyed him. But when you do what God said, you're going to walk where His blessings are because that's the reason He said it. Amen. I mean, if my children came to me and said, I'll do whatever you want me to do, it's time, I believe I receive a meal. Daddy, it's time to eat. And I said, go to the store and buy some bread. Here's the money. Oh, I wouldn't want to do that. You know, oh no, I wouldn't want to go down there. Well, you ain't going to get any bread if you don't. I'm telling you where the bread is. And if you'll be obedient to me and go down there, I've given you the money, go down there and get the bread, we'll eat. Oh, I don't know, you know, I don't know. Oh, if you'll give me the bread, I'll go to the store. Well, you know, I mean that. If you'll bless me, I'll go do what you say. Well, that ought to be self-explanatory, dear God. That isn't that really, it really, I made it, you know, silly where it'd shock you thinking a little bit. But isn't that right in line with what we've been trying to do? Oh, God, if you bless me, I'll go do this and I'll go do that. Or we go make up our mind, I'm going to do this now. Would you bless this, please? Could I just get you to bless this one? If we just find out what He wants us to do and go do it, then the blessings are there. Somebody said, see there, I'd go do it too if God blessed me like it blessed that brother. Well, if you'd find out where God wants you to go, what He wants you to do, and learn how to communicate with Him. Learn how He communicates. Learn how He acts and what He says and who He is and how He does things. And you can flow in line with it and be blessed and you'll be very successful in your life. Praise the Lord. Well, our time has slipped away from us. Let's pray. Now, I want you to listen to me as I pray. The way that I pray will be, of course, of necessity, a generalized prayer because I don't know where you are and who you are that are watching and listening and so forth. So I don't have any idea what your needs are. I will pray a general prayer with you and for you. You fill in the blanks. You fill in the places and believe God that you receive in the areas where your needs are. So go to the New Testament. Go to the promises of God and find the places that cover your needs and fill them in where we're praying in this prayer so that we can be in agreement with one another. Now, I'm going to pray that you be made whole, spirit and soul and body and financially, your financial life, and your social life, which would include your family, your work, your neighborhood, all of those things. If you've got a neighborhood that's overcome by drug dealers, pray. I mean, you can pray them dudes out of there, brother. Revival hits your neighborhood. Some of them get saved. Some of them run like a bunch of scared rabbits. But you can believe God. There's a little woman over in Watts. I've seen her. There's a preacher over there that pointed her out to me. She's out sweeping the sidewalk up in where her little house was. Sweeping that sidewalk off. Little black lady out there just sweeping and praising God and worshiping God. She's claimed her block for God. And any gang member that comes in, she stick her finger right in his face and said, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, sonny boy, you're going to come on this block. You're going to act right. You ain't going to do mama bad here." And she just praised the Lord. And she said, "I cast the devil out of you, boy." And I mean, those guys come in there and they call her mama. And ain't nobody has no dope on mama's block. You understand that? I mean, they know that mama's full of the Holy Ghost. And I guarantee you something, brother. She'll pray the very fire of God right down the middle of you too in the name of Jesus. All right, now let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray and lift up this television audience to you that they may be made whole, spirit and soul and body, divinely set free in their finances, divinely set free in their family lives, their social lives. And I break the power of drugs and alcohol and sin, sickness, demons and fear. Satan, take your hand off of God's property right now. In Jesus' name. Now you say, "Yes, amen, thank God." And then just lay it all out there. "I believe I receive my healing. I believe I receive deliverance for my husband or my wife or my children." And go right down the line and go get your New Testament and read it till you find out where the answers and the promises are to those prayers. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Whoa, now wait a minute. You ain't done yet. There's more in this series, so don't miss out. And don't try to jump around. "Yeah, but I want..." No. Just watch each and every lesson and learn and pray and pray and learn. And then learn and pray and pray and learn. And remember, Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for studying with us today. Please join us for the next lesson.